Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's sitting right with Dustin in Indianapolis. Dustin, tell everybody who you got with you.
Well, Adam, I happened to track down my partner in crime on television. You guys may have heard the name Bernie Kosar before. You've heard that name?
I think so.
War number 19, was a decent football player in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Bernie, what's up, buddy? Thanks for stopping by.
Many moons ago, played football here, but my claim to fame today was playing ping pong in the production meeting against Dustin Fox here, and modesty prevents me from saying who prevailed.
Well, listen, I'll tell the story. So yeah. we're waiting to start production meetings this morning where they bring the coaches down and a couple players, and they were doing their walkthrough, and we were doing the meeting in the running backs room, which is here on the second level at the Marriott, and across from the running backs room is the players' lounge. And inside the lounge, they must have had a local company that brings in a shuffleboard, ping pong table, a couple arcade games. They got the Xbox set up and couches and stuff, whatever. So we snuck in there, and I realized that Bernie wasn't just a great quarterback, but a world-class ping pong table tennis player as well, because he kicked my ass.
Well, thank you for the truthful rendition of that story. May I also add, I think the ping pong table caused my divorce, because that was what I had in my living room instead of living room furniture.
Bernie was telling us, guys,
the
story.
Bad sign.
He said there was a time where you played ping pong all day.
All day, yes. Yeah. And had really good success.
I saw it today.
What was the score?
We played to 11. It was 11 to 5. And okay. So I just got a cut. He hit a couple in the net. Gave me a couple points to make me feel like I wasn't
Do you have
bad,
a handy – like, should you have started the game up 8-0, Dustin?
I should have started the game up 10-0.
Bernie's a pro.
He's a pro. So, Bernie, back in Cleveland, Adam the Bull is with us, and Jason Lloyd sitting in today, as he does every Friday. So just so you recognize the voices. Guys, go ahead and take it away.
Bernie, it's great to have you with us. And I'm curious, you know, watching – you know, we have said for years – that the Browns have not had a good quarterback since Bernie Kosar. First of all, when you heard people say that, and I'm sure you heard a lot of people say that for decades, did that make you happy? Did it make you sad? Was there a little of both? I mean, you're getting love, but then it's like, hey, we can't find another guy. You finally have a good quarterback. Before we get to the current quarterback, what were you thinking? You know, all those years, as people said that many times, we haven't had a good quarterback since Bernie.
Well, thanks, Bull. That's a great question. I hadn't really thought that much about it, but as you're asking that to me, I'm really humbled and honored to be really looked at from that respect. It's been such a long time.
Yeah.
And it's really incredible to be 2019 now, and the team's back two decades.
Yeah.
And it's really the first time this century we're going to be a good football team, and living in the moment now, looking at how we're going to play, how we played against Indianapolis the last couple days of practice, is incredibly encouraging.
Hey, Bernie, I've heard you say multiple times over the years, it's deeper than the quarterback. The problems with this franchise are so much deeper than finding the quarterback. Has that been solved?
Well, I definitely think from the quarterback position, we're victims or beneficiaries of the guys around us. And if a quarterback doesn't have weapons, if he doesn't have talent, and look, I'm not trying to pick on anybody in the past, but Tim Couch, one of our partners on the broadcast, he didn't have the weapons 19, 20 years ago that teams have today, and the current 2019 Browns have a lot of weapons, and that makes for good quarterback play and good team play, and Baker Mayfield being an exceptional quarterback to take advantage of those weapons absolutely is an indicator of a good team.
And it speaks just to John Dorsey in recognizing, I think, Bernie, that he has a quarterback now, and he's a great one, and he's got the chance to be a great one, I should say. He looks like he could be a great one. And he says, okay, we're not just going to rely on that. We're going to go out and get the best possible weapons we can. We're not just going to settle for Jarvis Landry. We're not just going to settle for Nick Chubb. We're going to get Odell Beckham. We're going to get Kareem Hunt. We're going to you know, draft these guys. We're going to get more tight ends. We're going to have Njoku in the mix and all these guys. And I just think that they have put Baker in a situation where, like, it's going to be tough for him to fail, I think, with this offense, because he has the talent as a quarterback, and now with all these guys around him. Like, imagine, Bernie, if you were Baker Mayfield right now, like, wouldn't you be just, like, going to bed at night, like, you not being able to sleep because you know all these weapons you could throw to?
Well, our general, John Dorsey, has done a phenomenal job of creating weapons around Baker Mayfield, and it is something, you're right. I'd be excited to play with. Any quarterback would. But Baker Mayfield has the gifts and the skill level. Yeah. And watching him practice, his sense of timing to really use all of those weapons and the way he's dispersing the ball around, mixing it in, using those guys, I know our team is going to be a winning football team this year.
We're talking with legendary Browns quarterback Bernie Kosar. You know, Bernie, two days ago, Chris Collinsworth was on the radio, and he was talking about, you know, he was asked if Baker's cockiness was a little too much, and he said he didn't think so at all. He said to certain players, that's just the way they are, and they get the best out of everybody. And he compared Baker to a guy he played with, and you know well, in Boomer Esiason. And I think about, there's a picture at the Winking Lizard downtown here with you and Boomer standing back to back. You know that picture? Remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah. And was Boomer an extremely cocky guy? Because that was the comparison. Obviously, he was a really good quarterback. What do you think about that comparison? What do you think about, you know, the cockiness of Baker and how that works for him?
You know, I'm not sure about the comparison side of it, Bull, but for sure, I'm not sure I like the word cocky, but confidence for sure. And all the good quarterbacks have to have that supreme confidence, whether you have it internally or internally and externally. But that confidence to be able to stand back there and make those plays and lead the teams. And what I really love about Baker, is it's really coming out clear, is his communication skills are so solid, the way he develops relationships with each one of his players. So me and Dustin today were with Hollywood Higgins.
And how about when we talked with Adam Henry, right? The wide receivers coach, and he made a great point. He says Baker treats every player. Guys, this is great. He says Baker treats every player different. He doesn't talk to Higgins the same way he talks to Odell. He doesn't talk to Jarvis the same way he talks to Callaway, because he kind of has this feel that great leaders have that now.
And he means different in an extremely positive way.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
able to articulate yeah. and get in individually to each individual, and that's just a genius, beautiful.
It's a great quality that the great leaders – ultimately have, and some, because some people, they just talk to everybody the same, and sometimes the way that you communicate, if it's the same way, you may rub one guy wrong, the other guy may respond to it. That's a problem, and that's why sometimes coaches and players, certainly a leader like a quarterback, can, you know, I don't want to say, you know, rub guys the wrong way, but it does. It absolutely does. I've had coaches that would yell at everybody the same. They wouldn't know that a guy's buttons would be pushed a certain way, and that's a problem. And Baker gets it, and he doesn't do that at all.
Yep, and he maximizes each person's best gifts.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, Bernie, the right guard situation seems to be one of the few that's fairly unsettled right now. Looking at it from a quarterback's view, how concerning is that? How important is the right guard to quarterback play, and how concerned should fans be that there doesn't seem to be any sort of clarity at that spot?
Well, from a quarterback perspective, any time the guy right in front of you may have an issue, that is a significant issue for the vision of a quarterback and throwing. I believe that there's uncertainty as to who is going to line up in that position. The second offensive line in depth is something that Coach Kitchens wants to get a good look at in the Indianapolis game tomorrow night. But that being said, with Coach Campton and the way the offensive line has progressed, I really think from a protection standpoint, that is going to fall into line, and that will not be as big an issue as I think people are making it in the long run of a football season.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Go ahead, Jay. I'm concerned about the position just because nobody has jumped out and took the job. Yeah. Take it, grab it. It's there for somebody. and everyone sort of played the same, and that level's not good. Yeah. I don't think it's good enough.
Yeah, yeah, no, I concur with you. It's interesting this year that this is one position where typically in years past we've had 10 positions yeah. like this that are uncertain. This mm-hmm. is great that it's this position and basically the kicking position that's somewhat uncertain within the team. But also, I think that the guard, we have enough guys to play in there from the protection of physicalness, and the physical presence of the Cleveland Browns has really been evident these last 2 days in practice against the Colts. This was a physical demonstration of a real physical 2B football team. I think that's going to bode well for whoever plays right guard. One of the things I think we'll want to see in this next couple preseason games, who is our depth at the tackles in terms of second team guys or swing offensive tackles?
You worried about that? Like, what if Greg Robinson goes down?
I want to think positive
okay.
right
all
now.
Right. All right. Okay.
I want to be positive.
Go ahead, Jason.
Well, kind of along those lines, and this just kind of struck me as you were answering. Again, from a quarterback's perspective, obviously all five spots in front of you are very important. But if you have to have a weak link, where's the best spot to be weaker across the offensive line? Is there one spot where it's okay if you're not quite as up to speed as at the other spots, if there's a little bit of a hole there?
I'm trying not to laugh at the next quarterback. With only five guys there, any one of them guys leaves, that's 20% closer to death.
Fair enough.
You know, Bernie, I'm curious your take. You know, we spend so much time. Obviously, the league has become so much about passing these days, and we love it, and it's fun to watch. But the Browns have really two special running backs, but I want to talk about Nick Chubb because I love this guy. He, you know, you don't hear him talk much. He's certainly not bragging. He's not proclaiming anything. I was so impressed with him in his rookie season when he finally got his opportunity. He was great. I think the sky's the limit, but I'm curious from your perspective, how good do you think Nick Chubb can be?
Bull, I don't want to sound like a recording, but I think I could echo every one of your statements right there. as a player, that's just the dream type of teammate that you want to have. A selfless person, no ego, hardworking, conscientious, mm-hmm. Effort person, physical. I'm watching him in practice. Yeah, he runs the ball phenomenally, but his attention to detail, the way he pass blocks, the blitz drills that he did just yesterday, picking up linebackers, phenomenal all around player and person.
It's funny, we were it's just such a small world because we won't talk about what we were talking about, but I get a text from my Uncle Tim Fox, who actually was teammates with Bernie in Cleveland for the Browns, my uncle's last season. I don't remember exactly what year it was, but
the drive and fumble year.
But it was just for the off season for training camp. My uncle Bernie breaks his ribs and then retires. But my Uncle Tim's in Canton right now, and he's listening, and he texts me. He says, tell Bernie I said hi. So I tell Bernie that my Uncle Tim says hi, and then we're getting into all these old football stories back when they were teammates and then when they played against each other, of course. So
well, Tim Fox is the weak safety, and I don't want to say that with Dustin here. I don't want to give him too many compliments, but was an amazing hitter and savvy player. So it was nicer having him in training camp.
On your team.
On my team, as opposed to having to try to manipulate him with my eyes.
Yeah, no doubt. So we're back. Of course, I'm in Indianapolis here with Bernie Kosar, Adam the Bull, back with Jason Lloyd in studio in Cleveland. We're pumped about the big game tomorrow, of course, so you can hear the game here on The Fan, or you can watch Bernie and I on Channel 5 is what we'll be calling the game. But, you know, we're talking about some of these battles that they have. And really, Bernie, when you think about it, if we're talking about kicker and right guard as our two issues, I think we're in a pretty good spot, right? Compared to the past.
I think that bodes well for a better season, absolutely, when you got two spots like that.
Let's get into this conversation, guys, because, we were talking, Jason and Adam and I were talking before you came in, Bernie, about the intensity of this camp, and specifically the last 2 days, where the first day the Browns maybe got it taken to them a little bit, and then Freddie comes back, has a message for the team. They come out yesterday in practice, and they're very aggressive. It seemed like they probably won the practice if you could put a score on it, right? And there's all these fights. You were at practice. Was it too much?
I loved being at practice yesterday. It was not too much. And to watch the Cleveland Browns really imposing a physical presence out there on the field was really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
The team, the physicalness that they showed. We had a two-minute drive yesterday, went right down and scored at will, throwing the ball, came right back in a team drill, put in two tight ends, three tight ends, and ran the ball against the first-team Indianapolis defense with chunk plays. Kareem Hunt had a nice day in practice. The offensive line opening up holes against another team like that. We've heard so much about our awesome defensive line in training camp so far. I think our defensive line has helped get us and our offensive line more physical. So when they played against the front seven of the Colts yesterday, the Colts got a lesson.
Nice.
We're talking with Browns legend Bernie Kosar. Bernie, you know, the preseason has become, you know, has really changed. Obviously, used to play six preseason games. Now it's four. A lot of the starters don't play. Odell Beckham's not going to play this week. He's got a little minor injury, might not play at all. What do you think about that, the trend of starters playing less and less in the preseason?
There is that balance of wanting to get your continuity, your consistency, but absolutely, look what happened to the New York Jets today, losing their free agent linebacker for the season with a torn ACL. Yes, you want to get your guys ready. Yes, you have to get them prepared, but the risk benefits of an injury to a significant player like that at this point in the year, you just don't want to have that with all the expectations and possibilities that lay in front of us this year.
Bernie, we've spent so much time on the offense, and obviously that's the big story, but defensively, especially what this team has up front, how dangerous do you think they will be to opposing quarterbacks?
Bull, me and you are on the same page. It's almost like I showed up in the production
meetings. I like it.
The depth of defensive line, the ability to get consistent pressure on the quarterback, just rushing four guys, allowing seven guys to be in coverage, is a complete nightmare for quarterbacks. That is going to be definitely a strength, I think, of our football team.
I got to turn my mic on. I do want to go back to the offense, and I look at all the weapons that Baker has, and I think back to some of the guys you were throwing to in the 80s. Obviously, winning helps. But as a quarterback, how do you sort of pacify guys that maybe don't get the ball as often as they want week to week? Or, you know, I would think it's a challenge from a quarterback's perspective to try and keep everyone happy. How do you do that if guys aren't touching the ball as much as they want?
First and foremost, you have to win. Winning cures a lot of ills. And when you're winning, and with the what we're seeing with the football team, and especially with how Coach Kitchens is talking about a selfless, non-egoed team. And that's easy to say, somewhat harder to do, but watching these guys, you really see a selfless football team. And when you're winning games, which I know we're going to do, I think that will minimize some of that. And I know there's only one ball and everybody wants it and that. But if you're able to win games, that cures a lot of it. And what we were talking about in the last segment with Baker and his communication skills, great leaders are able to lead their way and facilitate their way around in integrating all of those weapons within the team.
Bernie, let's talk about, you know, some of the expectations and the hype that surrounds this team. Man, it has been a long time since people have been this high in the Cleveland Browns. The predictions, the projections, you know, can that be hard? I think it can for a team that's young and hasn't really been there. Are you concerned at all about that and how the team responds to maybe some adversity when it hits at some point this year?
Adversity is going to hit.
No doubt.
In life, in any game, it's going to hit. But this football team, being young, I think they're embracing it. I like the way they're not overly talking about long-term plans. They're taking it day at a time, really a drill at a time, a moment at a time, and doing the best they can, and doing the best they can now, getting themselves ready for the next step, and not overanalyzing things. And I think that's reflective in what Coach Kitchens has been telling us and how he acts around his players.
Brady, what do you think will be the biggest challenge for Freddie this year? As a first-time head coach, he's going to be calling the plays. He's got all these egos to deal with. He's got all these personalities, expectations for the team to be really, really good this year. What do you think is the biggest challenge for Freddie?
I'm not sure what the biggest challenge is. I mean, there's so many that go with it, but him laying down and John Dorsey and the leadership of this team, laying down a core philosophical belief in the word us and family. You don't see I's and me's being said. And that kind of core foundation of togetherness has really bonded them. And I think through when adversity does come and when tough moments do come, this familyness in this group that they've put together, this camaraderie, is genuine. This isn't just a disingenuous thing to say, and I think that's going to help them kind of withstand some of those tough issues that are going to come up.
We're talking with Browns legendary quarterback Bernie Kosar. Bernie, you know, we've talked about guard as a position that we're concerned about. You know, for years it's been 20 different positions we were concerned about. Now it's only a couple. The other one's kicker. What do you make of the kicking competition right now? How comfortable are you with that situation?
You know, is anybody ever really comfortable with a kicker?
I guess, well, with Phil Dawson, we were comfortable with Phil Dawson.
Well, I guess a kicker and the name, it wasn't right in terms of just a kick. You know, when I was playing, any time the guy was, someone went out for a field goal, there's that indecision there. And I think why I bring that up is we're going to talk about this until the first game of the season happens and there's the first kick. And it's going to come down to, do you make the kick or not? And if you make the kick, we're going to be happy and he's going to stay. And if he doesn't, he's not.
It's that simple.
Adam, we had a chance to catch up today with Mike Prefer, who is the special teams coach. And my goodness, the first time I've chatted with him.
He's an awesome
leader. Unbelievable, Adam. I mean, his background goes back. He was in the military.
U.S. Naval Academy.
U.S. Naval Academy, and he just very, very respectful. And you get the sense that he's turning around the special teams here. You know, when he got here back in January, he said he watched the film from last year and was just blown away at just the lack of discipline and effort that these guys had on special teams. And obviously we're talking about the kicking game here too, and we had some conversations with Mike about the challenges. Hey, the good news is, he says basically, if you go back from August 1st, guys, they've charted every kick. They're dead even. 35 of 38 kicks from August 1st on, and they both, I think, have made their last 11 straight, too. So he said the competition is a dead heat right now between Greg Joseph and Austin Seibert.
Yeah. And to add to that, not because Dustin's here, but Coach Mike Prefer in the special teams, his military background, his leadership background, his skills, this special team, I believe, is going to be a dominant, strong part of the football team and a special force within the league. Coach Prefer is going to be a head coach someday in our league.
And you know what is funny? Special teams coaches tend to be the glue on really good teams. Because you know why? They talk to everybody.
Well said.
They have to interact with all position groups, offensive guys and defensive guys, and he's kind of the one that knows everyone's personalities. When I was in Philadelphia, John Harbaugh, who was my special teams coordinator, right? Now a great head coach for the Baltimore Ravens. You see it happen all the time. All the time.
He has to touch every player. Yeah. He gets a feel, just like we were talking about the awesome communication skills of Coach Kitchens or Baker Mayfield. The special teams coach and Mike Prefer touches each person and be able to get inside each one's head and to know how they're going to react. Yes, special teams, we're focused mainly on the kickers. I'm really excited to see the overall play of kickoff coverage units, punt return, kickoff return units. The rules have changed this year, so creative, disciplined coaches like Mike Prefer, who's a Cleveland native, is going to be able to take advantage of these type of new rule changes within the league.
Bernie, we're going to let you go. I know you have to get to your room. You got to break down film for the next 6 hours. You got to get prepared for the game tomorrow because we've got a big broadcast. We really appreciate
thanks, Bernie.
Couple segments with us.
Thanks. I'm going to loosen up my arm for a rematch on the ping pong game with Dustin Fox.
There you
all
go.
Right, boys, you take
thanks,
it away.
Guys.
There you
take
go. Thanks, Dustin. Thanks, Bernie.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.